Huge episode this week. We've got 6 releases in the silent updates and another 8 in the published releases, everything from calendar interoperability to larger Google groups to some events that are going to be in Los Angeles, San Diego, Tel Aviv. Abuse-related events are coming to the Alert Center, quick reacts to Google Chat, and more. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, your number one source for everything workspace by the Tab Geeks Network. My name is Jesse Nolan. My co-host is Steve Larson. We're here to help you keep up. I went on a tech t-shirt buying binge recently, supporting creators like us. So today I'm wearing my new Bearded IT Dad shirt, which says, of course, have you tried turning it off and on again? Which is one of my favorite slogans. Bearded IT Dad is, of course, a great YouTube channel about getting started in tech and continuing your career in tech. And I was recently a guest on the show. So we'll have to get him on the Heroes of IT show and interview him and hear his story as well. I love shirts like these, and I have a whole bunch more coming, so stay tuned. I'm always on the lookout for awesome new ones, so let me know. Shoot me an email, jesse@tabgeeks.com, or comment on the video below and let me know where you found your favorites. Steve, back in the command center, how's it going? Where do you buy your favorite t-shirts?
Well, you know, I don't buy them. I just get them at conferences all the time. And
that's the problem. I haven't been to a conference in such a long time. I had to start buying t-shirts. Yeah.
So the one that I always get the most comments on is one from
It definitely is.
It was Go Ahead, Blame the Network. Random people that have no idea of technology just comment on it, and I'm like, where does this come from? I don't know where, but people are always commenting on that shirt the most, and I think I got it at Next, 2018, 2019, something like that, and it was one of the the network monitoring tools that.
Manage Engine or one of those. I have one also.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But yeah, I have not gone out and bought some tea. So yeah, where do you get them from? Where do you find them?
So I used to get them at conferences, and basically this last week I went on a binge and just went on a lot of the other YouTube channels. We don't have a shop yet, but we'll get there. They have swag shops, t-shirts and mugs and hats, right, and whatever. And so I got some from MKBHD, and I got some from.
So you have to know the site. You're knowing the site.
I went to my favorite channels and bought a bunch of shirts that I found of theirs.
Yeah, it'd be great if these platforms that you use to create your custom, your merch stores would aggregate all the different customers they have.
I was thinking that. Give me a list of the cool tech. Right. Like, here's all the nerdy shirts. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I need that. Exactly. 100%. Problem is, they're all on different platforms. Some are on Spring, some are on.
Well, right. But at least you'd have a handful, like 5 or 6, instead of hundreds of places to go to look for something, right?
Right. So. Right. Yeah, definitely would help with discovery and buying new shirts. Actually, what we should really start is a tech swag monthly go box, whatever they're called, subscription. Yeah, there you go. $40 a month, and I'll send you 2 t-shirts from top creators. Let me know if you're interested in the new Tab Geeks mystery box monthly subscription. We'll spin that up for y'all.
It's looking to be a pretty big episode, though, this week. Substantial number of updates during the week. 6 in the silent releases at the end of week recap post.
Well, they had
some updates from Bard.
Everything that was in the pipeline up towards I/O. Yeah. And then we get it all at once.
So, and then we spared you a lot of news updates this week. And we just have sort of a few ones that we'll talk about, mostly related to events and meetups, things like that. So I want to keep you updated on that, because we don't want to be, notified too late of those. So yeah, let's run through the agenda here. We got what we've got in terms of silent releases. We have 6 of those. First one is the improvement of time management and displaying of time with the new chips in Google Docs. You can now also enter alternative text for visual context in Google Sites, so some improvements there for accessibility. The onboarding experience for Google Chat has been enhanced to help users get started a little bit quicker. The spell check for client-side encrypted files in Google Docs is available. And this is an interesting one. It's, you know, let's export client-side encrypted spreadsheets to Excel. I mean, let's just, you know, take a fully encrypted file and move it out of an encrypted file. You know, why would you want to do that? I don't know, but for those that needed it, it's
not
available.
That's what I was saying. Literally says decrypt and download.
Right. Okay. AppSheet-powered no-code apps are now in Google Chat. So that wraps up those silent releases. I'll tell you a little bit more about those in a sec. The published releases, we saw 8 of those. We saw some improvements to calendar interoperability. There's some new membership limits for Google Groups. Those are increasing. Always nice to see increases on limits.
Excellent.
And next, there's the ability to easily expand and collapse content in Google Docs. And as Justin and I have noticed, it's not available to all these users in the same domain at the same time because I can't use it, but Jesse can. I can only expand out ones that Jesse has collapsed once it's been done by him, but I can't actually collapse them. And next, some more smart Canvas stuff. Creating custom building blocks in Google Docs. You can also now react to messages quickly in Google Chat. There's always been that ability to double tap with the thumbs up, but there's some enhancements here to make it give you a little bit more options by just hovering over to be able to respond quickly. You can monitor abuse-related events in the Alert Center now. And two more. We have complete data-driven tasks faster with new smart chips data extraction in Google Sheets. And then finally, collaborate with others on Google Calendar invites in Google Docs, much like the email compose collaboration we see from the smart chips there. So adding that functionality as well. This the list of the smart Canvas options, like with the ads, is just going to be massive pretty soon. It's going to be need to be its own menu pretty soon. In the menu bar. So, and then in terms of other releases, we'll talk about some things happening with Bard. And then finally, we have an update finally in terms of updates. Not that this is a long-awaited, you know, finally there's this update with Meet Hardware. But May 29th, there's an update here coming for Chrome OS. And it's just really not much to talk about it here. So I'll probably just skip over it. It just, there's a few things. I forgot to put the bullet points. I will talk about what those are when we come to that at the end. I'm just going to add that to my notes here. I forgot to paste those in. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a sec. All right. So... other news, we'll talk about that. So Google is updating inactive account policies. So just some things to be careful about there. If you've created a Google account and haven't used it for a couple of years, you might want to log back in to reset that timer. So we'll talk a little bit about that, more details about that. And then C2C in person in LA, in San Diego, mm-hmm. and Tel Aviv all coming up in the following weeks. So yeah, quite an episode here. I think my Google is responding to me here. So that's one thing I might need to do is like turn all of the Googles off. All right, it's going off a lot today. So I got a phone going off for there. I got the Google Homes going off.
Oh man.
I don't know. I'm just saying the word Google too much right now.
Apparently. It didn't even sound like you were saying the magic combo, but apparently it thought you were.
I know. I notice it responding to just it's just itself sometimes.
That's not creepy at all.
Yeah. All right, let's jump in to those silent releases we saw in the recap post. So first one being the improvement of time improving time management and display time with new chips in Google Docs. So all part of the introduction of the new Smart Canvas features in Google Sheets and Docs. There's a new timer chip that can be used to time box activities and ensure that you're using your time productively. So you can pull that up and put a little stopwatch there, a little timer. And then to more finely represent time, they're also adding a time of day chip to Google Docs. So you can type at today, and then you'll be able to add the date and select set time to add time to a date chip. So it used to just be the date, but now you can also set the time as well. And cool. Roll out to that one is coming to rep release domains right now. And then schedule release domains, we'll start to see that at the end of the month on the 31st of May. Next is the ability to use alternative text for visual content in Google Sites. So this just gives you the ability to enter the alt text on background images, making sites a little bit more readable for everyone. Rep release domains have seen this coming out to them already. And then schedule release domains will also see this towards the end of the month, but just a day before the last one on the 30th of May this year. Next, the enhancements of the web onboarding experience in Google Chat to help users get started quicker. And this is just kind of giving users a few little options here as they get started with chat to, you know, let them know that start a chat, how to browse spaces, to explore apps. I know one thing that I think is a new user to chat that you're not familiar with is that the browsing of spaces that you've been added to through, you know, group membership, for example. And that one takes a little bit of, you need to kind of know where to look for that. It's not as intuitive, I guess, as you would think. So this kind of helps with that onboarding experience.
I like that it shows the option and the links directly to download the chat app from the Play Store, the App Store, the web app. Yeah. That's always been kind of like, hey, I wish that was more pushed out to people so that they would realize, oh, there's an app to go with this. It's not just it has to live on the computer because it's a work chat. Yeah. But it can actually be accessed on my phone, which is honestly where I find, I think, a lot of the utility out of it is being able to just respond quickly to something on the go. So. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's directly built into Gmail now, though. So if you are using the Gmail app, it is right there on the mobile apps. So you don't even have to download another app. If you're using the Gmail app, it's boom, it's right there.
I wonder if they're going to be linking to the Gmail app or
chat. Oh, yeah, and they mean the image? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Because the chat app is still there.
It is. Yeah, separate. Yeah. Yep.
As is the Meet app, which is now doing because, oh my God, pick a strategy. Right. I guess this is a strategy. You know, it is nice to have separate apps. I finally come around to having them all in one app, but I do definitely see the interest of having chat and not having email. Email is more, I don't know, more permanent, more focused, whereas chat is just quick coordination kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you have users that don't have email and just use chat,
I guess that's why you need both of them. But
yeah.
Do those users exist? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
For us, we mandated that everybody has an email and a chat and phone through the phone system because that way you always have company systems for us to contact you on.
So
it costs more, but worthwhile because then we can say, well, we contacted you on your company mandated device or company mandated service rather.
Yeah, service. Yeah.
And then, you know, that helps to make sure that everybody has a way for us to get in touch with them should we need to, and we don't have to go digging through HR files to find people's cell phone numbers or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Roll out to that one. Rep release domains happened now. Schedule release domains, that's going to be planned for the 5th of June. Next, the spell check for client-side encrypted files in Google Slides is coming out. If you're working on those client-side encrypted files in Google Slides, you'll now see spelling suggestions as you type. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can see also suggestions for misspelled words, by accessing the tools, spelling, and spell check menu, or right clicking on the word there. This is just available to, well, because client side encryption, right? So it's just available to those that customers that have client side encryption. So Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Education Standard, Education Plus customers only. Rolled out to rep release domains now, and then scheduled release domains coming towards the end of May on the 30th for that.
I find this amusing that the text that they're using for spell checking is lorem ipsum, which it only redlines some of them. Does it generally spell check Latin or presumed Latin?
I don't know.
And then lorem ipsum dollar sit amet, and then consectitur wants to change to consecration. Okay.
Yeah, I think they were just using that to make some examples, but
it's funny though. You would expect suggesting... I get lorem ipsum, but this time you could have actually put in something where you spell scissors wrong or something, which is one that I always struggle with or used to struggle with until I learned it.
So, and it's also interesting because you can see. Oh, it's kind of cool. So, there's the reference to scary again. So, if you look at the very top right corner of this, you have the specific build of what version that user is using. It's an internal kind of Googlers only have that text up there in the top right corner, and there is the reference scary. So, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but. Because I think this was the conference you and I were at back in Mountain
View
together.
Definitely talked about it before, but for those who are not familiar with this,
it was the rollout of shared drives, team drives, and Dan Shalev was up on stage at Google out in a tent, just off campus, well on campus, but just kind of towards the tracks there where you're in Mountain View, and was it Sunnyvale?
Sunnyvale,
yeah. And the URL was, drive.google.com/scary that she went to because she was showcasing some of the special features. And I was on the Wi-Fi there, went to the same URL, and I got access to the same things. I was getting all these new login pages. I was getting access to all these new internal Google tools. And able to see who was handling all the new features and emails of Googlers and things like that. It was pretty cool. So interesting to see that is still a thing, and even on slides is they refer to it there. I thought, still in use there.
And so reference to the time that Steve hacked the mainframe.
So what ended up happening was the Wi-Fi network that they had out in that tent. Was their corporate network essentially? So it wasn't like a guest network. So you were getting access to things as if you were a Googler in some cases, which you really didn't notice it unless you did something like that, for example.
That actually goes to show the hokeyism of those early events when we were there. They just threw it together. This clearly didn't have the polish of the early events, and it was really something special to those. And I do miss them. Yeah. Because of that. And okay, fine. I had a horror story where I asked for a kosher meal and they didn't get me anything. And so they brought me to the closed kosher cafe on campus. And I found a 3-day-old soggy hummus burrito in the fridge or something. I was like, you know what? I'll starve. Thanks. Let me go find a bag of Cheez-Its somewhere or something in your well-stocked snack kitchen throughout the campus.
Clearly they must have kosher employees there, right?
They do, but it was not on that campus, I guess. Or, maybe they have other options for them. I don't know. Because there are pockets of Jewish people throughout, so usually they're in communities, and Sunnyvale sure may not have such a large one, but Mountain View does, and the Bay Area does for sure, and not even massive, but big enough to have a restaurant or two, and sometimes that's where that stuff comes from. But sometimes you just can't. So not everybody gets their own custom chef.
Yeah.
Certainly not anymore.
Yeah.
But Google Next is obviously a full-blown, polished, mega awesome conference. And actually, I've had people be jealous of the kosher meal that I've gotten at Google Next. I'm like, ooh, Look at that box. What is the? What is that? I want those. I want that. You got steak? You know, how do we get steak?
You know what I would do on flights sometimes is I would order the kosher meal because it comes out first. They like hand deliver all the kosher meals first on a plane. Yep. So I would order the kosher meal on American.
And then go to sleep. Yep.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. I think we talked about the rollout for that. Next up is the export of client-side encrypted spreadsheets to Excel files. So let's get that highly sensitive encrypted data out of the encrypted Google Sheets and get it onto that local system that, who knows if it's encrypted or not. But here we go.
There goes your control over your encrypted files.
Right.
Download which in this decrypt. Case is a list on the screenshot of people's first name, last name, emails, phone numbers, and what looks to be some kind of monetary information. So a spreadsheet with sensitive data. Let's download that.
I wonder. I wonder if those numbers are actually legit. I mean, they look like they could be. I mean, they're really area codes.
Miramax. has 40% of something, and Elijah Woods. I heard of him.
But I'm sure those numbers will call someone.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'm sure it'll go somewhere. Yeah. Okay, so rollout for that looks like it is. Probably already available. There's no rollout schedule on the update here, but that is going to be available from that file download and decrypt menu for those using encrypted sheets. Next, the AppSheet powered no code apps in Google Chat. So this was an IO announcement, and if you head over to the Workspace blog, you can learn a little bit more about building workflows across Google Workspace to connect user experiences across apps. So this now allows you to create Google Chat apps without code in AppSheet to build integrations or workflows that suit the needs of your organization. And a nicely sized animated GIF here, Jesse, if I don't say so myself here.
It's not terrible.
All right. It's like massive, but it's better than micro.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is available to all customers with an AppSheet Starter Core or Enterprise plan, and you can learn more over on the support page for chat apps. Okay, so jumping into the 8 updates for the week. Here we go. So it's like we've had a whole episode already of updates. Let's start with 8 more. Improvement of calendar interoperability. So some improvements here coming to interoperability where Outlook users who also have a Google Calendar with the same email address can receive Google Calendar invites and RSVPs in Outlook. You can now also add default mini reminder or a default reminder will be generated in Outlook if the invitation was created in Google Calendar to help make sure that guests using Outlook do not miss events. And then finally, non-Google Calendar recurring events will be more systematically and accurately updated in Google Calendar. So a lot of useful features there for interoperability. And I don't know if the person who reached out to me over on Workspace Admins is listening to this podcast, but someone in South Africa reached out and said, hey, can you help us with calendar interoperability and setting that up? So
cool.
We'll probably be reaching out and seeing what we can do to help you with some of these new features that just got released. And that probably could be why maybe they're deploying and implementing it now because they saw these great new features come out. So this is available to all Workspace customers as well as Legacy, G Suite, Basic, and Business. And it's available to users with personal Google accounts. Don't know how or why you'd be doing that because it's Outlook interoperability, but with the Exchange. I don't know how personal accounts are going to use that.
They want to make it work better across all calendars for everybody.
I guess, yeah. Okay. Next, the new membership limit for Google Groups. So there's, of course, limits imposed on things to, reduce spam and improve security, things like that. So there's going to now be an increase in the limits for the number of direct and indirect group members that a user could have. So direct membership increases from 2,000 to 3,000 memberships. And then the combined direct and indirect membership is increasing from 5,000 to 7,500 memberships. So if you're the owner or manager of a group, that counts as two membership. One is a group member and one is the owner or manager. And a user is an indirect member of a group if they belong to different groups, that's nested in the group. So you can, I guess you can have multiple memberships attributed to your identity there on the group. So I guess this was just a little increase there to help accommodate that situation for users.
Cool.
Rollout for this one is available now for all rapid release and scheduled release domains, as well as all Workspace customers.
Everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The expansion and collapsion. Collapsion. Is that?
Collapsion.
Is that a word? The collapsion. Expand and collapse content in Google Docs.
I'll kick this one off and give Steve a little bit of a break here.
Yeah, I'm just going to get it a little fresher there. Go ahead, yeah.
Especially since I have access to it and you don't. So, you know, I'm obviously the expert now. But essentially, you're going to be able to create headers and collapse them or expand them at will, which actually I think this is going to be a hugely helpful
really useful
feature here. It's nice. You know, I can... The way that they're showing it is a work to-do list, which they keep trying to cram to do into Docs, and it doesn't really stop it. All right, whatever. Conversation for a different time. But they show here a header of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and underneath those headers, you have a checklist of things that you can or should be doing. And if you don't want to be seeing that on your document or you want to make your document shorter, you'll now have the option to click on the little caret that shows up next to your header when you hover over it and collapse that. I can also see that being very useful, whether it's for sections or meeting notes or project notes, things that you just want to, you know, tuck away for another time. I think that's really, really awesome. Personally, what they talk about it here is it's apparently a highly requested feature, and I can imagine why. Helps you create and consume more digestible content in Docs. So editors of a document will have the ability to set the default state of headers to expanded or collapsed for all users. That's interesting. Users with view and comment access are able to expand and collapse content when they have the document open, and when they close the document, their expand/collapse changes will not be saved. Interesting. Okay. So you do not necessarily affect other people's documents.
In certain cases, the viewers and commenters, right? So
right.
Yeah, but when I was in there with you, I was seeing, you know, what you were doing. So it's not
But I own the
user specific.
Actually, yeah. the shared drive. The doc, so.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that it's not like a filter view in a sheet where it's specific just to the user's view, right? It is, it's actually how that document is viewed by all. Mm-hmm. And it changes everyone's view of that document as that gets toggled on and off by someone in the doc. So
that's pretty interesting.
It can be rather annoying if someone is doing that frequently and you're trying to read the doc because it, of course, shifts and moves around.
Don't know what you're talking about. That we may or may not have done while testing it before the show. Yeah. Click, 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 click.
Yep.
There is no admin control for this feature, so it's coming whether you like it or not. Gradual rollout for the rapid release domains. Gradual rollout up to 15 days for feature visibility starting on last week, May 16th. And scheduled release domains are gradual rollout starting on May 30th and is available to all Google Workspace customers as well as legacy G Suite, basic and business customers, and personal Google accounts. So everybody.
All right. Went through the whole update there.
The whole thing. I tried. Nice. I realized I was like, you know, just like the other episode that I did solo, I realized I was, I talk fast. I gotta, especially for the updates, I gotta dial it back, you know.
Yeah, you did slow that down. That was a good one. That was
a little bit. Yeah,
that was a good pace. It was a very good pace. Yeah, it was
faster
very
than
Steve-like.
You, but, you know.
Yeah. It was close. I didn't notice it being too fast. All right.
Yeah.
Next, the creating of custom building blocks in Google Docs. So this is, more Smart Canvas updates here. This update here is really packed full of Smart Canvas updates and, improving that within all of the suite of Google docs, sheets, and slides type of thing. So this is going to, this feature is going to enable you to save custom blocks of text, tables, and chips to build reusable components. So something like, you know, you want to create a project kickoff template to track milestones and tasks, you know, a product launch checklist, or some sort of block of code or text that's commonly used within your organization. So rather than having to rework the out-of-box building blocks to meet, you know, your specific needs, or searching for a template that you frequently copy and paste into a doc, you can now start to save that as a snippet or the entire document as a custom building block, and then easily insert it, insert that content into other documents. So this is pretty cool. You know, no admin features here, but end users have a little bit of you know, getting used to how to do this. So you select any part of a doc, and then you have access to copy from, right-click, and then select Save as Custom Building Block. Name the block and click Save. There's a little note here, though, about the custom building blocks are saved as documents in your Google Drive in a folder called Custom Building Blocks Auto-Generated. So we can reorganize, edit, or delete those documents as you wish. So kind of just like, yeah, kind of like what Meet Record, you know, you get a folder called Meet Recordings, right?
Right.
And then you can go ahead and move those and, you know, reorganize those as you need. So so you can
insert those custom blocks. You think if I share that folder with you, you'll get access to my custom built blocks?
Probably, right? And then I could maybe somehow import those into my profile.
You would have to copy them into your folder with that exact name, right? I imagine.
Yeah, I'd probably be able to pull it into mine, but you'd be able to share it with me, and then I'd be able to take that and, you know.
I'd love to, as a admin or as a manager, create like company blocks that I can push out to everybody. And I can do something like that in Asana, for example, is like a list of something is your this is a company drop down menu that everybody can use, that kind of a thing. Yeah. So I think that would be probably a natural extension of this feature.
Yeah. Yep. Rollout pace. Cool. Yeah. Rollout pace for this one, rep release domains are going to see this on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility, starting on the 16th of May. And then schedule release domains, gradual rollout also 15 days for visibility, starting on the 5th of June.
Also, shout out to this GIF. Enormous.
You like this one?
Well done. It's huge. Love it.
It's huge. It's also just a small little, one.
It is. But if you open a full screen, it's massive.
Very, very big.
Love it.
Very big.
Grapes.
If anyone else wants to know what to get Jesse for Christmas or his birthday, it is large animated GIFs. Just get him some big ones.
Big, high definition screens. Yes, please.
Available to Workspace Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Plus customers, as well as nonprofits. It's not going to be available on Workspace Essentials, Business Starter, Enterprise Essentials, Education Fundamentals, Education Standard, the Teaching and Learning Upgrade Frontline, nor will it be available to G Suite Basic and Business customers, as well as not available to personal Google accounts. So only some of you getting this. So, yeah. Then next, being able to react to messages quickly in Google Chat. Hover over a message. Get a little dialog box there of some quick reaction emojis and, you know, inline threading comments and other responses, all of that. So this is just giving you the option to see the option to open the full emoji picker, to reply in thread, to quote replies and to quote in reply and more. And this looks like it is coming to both mobile devices as well as desktop. So
this is a good extension. I like how they did this compared to Discord and Slack. I was actually just double checking myself here, but in Discord and Slack, you only have the option to grab open the emoji picker, as well as those other, you know, reply in thread or forward or whatever. Yeah. But here you get a couple of key use, and I wonder if it's your most active or if it's just, it says your most frequently used emojis. Perfect. It's exactly how I would want it to work. And in Discord also, like, you can just click on to open the emoji clicker. You get a list of your frequently used and all the rest of them that are available. but here it's really quick response, and I think on mobile also, that's just, yeah, really awesome. Love this feature.
Yeah. And I'm not seeing it. I don't think I see it yet on my account.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I just reloaded chat, so I don't see it yet.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking at some of the different spaces that have threading versus non-threaded ones and see if there's any difference there, but it's...
Oh, yeah, no, I just saw that you sent the quote text one to me. Yes. That's another perfect execution. I like that.
Yeah.
Rolling out soon. We cannot talk about the group that is titled there, though. That's an alpha, so don't say anything.
I didn't say anything. But you know, the other thing, too, that I noticed recently was I think this is a change to deleted messages in, you know, in spaces. Is I don't think is it always said message deleted by its author?
I believe so.
It did? It has always said that?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I thought before it just kind of disappeared, like there was no reference to something being deleted.
No, I'm pretty sure it always did. You could be right, but it was a short while later they added an update that said that it would say that. It was one or the other.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Because you can like edit the text to end up being nothing without deleting it. You know, like I can remove all the text in there.
Right.
And just put a dot, right? And then it wasn't deleted. It was just like edited. So it's, but then the response stays as what was originally written. If someone responds, as it responded to it. Mm-hmm. So if you look in that example I just did there.
Right. It doesn't. It.
Yeah.
It's still there. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Did we finish the chat rollout?
We did not yet, no. We're just down on the end here in terms of rollout pace. Rollout pace for this one, rep release domains. We'll see this on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility starting 16th of May. Schedule release domains also on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility starting on the 30th of May. And it's available to all Workspace customers as well as the G Suite Basic and Business, and also available to those on personal Google accounts. All right, three more to go. Monitoring abuse-related events in the Alert Center. So admins can now receive alerts related to abuse-related events in their organization. So this includes events related to content that's been marked abusive or user access restrictions to apps. So just making it easier for admins to stay on top of these. And, you know, a moderately sized animated GIF here, not too big, not too small. Probably could use a little bit bigger one, but alas, we're stuck with that. And admins, can start to configure how they want to receive these and set this up in the Alert Center. This rollout is available now to rapid release and schedule release domains and to all Workspace customers. All right, moving on. You can now complete data-driven tasks faster with new smart chip data extraction in Google Sheets. So, I think we have one more. Yeah, we've got two more smart Canvas updates. So this one and one more after it. So with the smart chip data extraction, you can enrich the sheets with information from people, file, and event chips. And then, more specifically here, this feature allows you to pull out metadata associated with specific smart chips into its own cell, whilst maintaining a connection with the chip it was extracted from. So, for example, if you needed to track a sheet of documents, their owners, and details, such as like the creation time or who last modified a file, you can do that by extracting those fields from the relevant file chips as shown below. And this one is a massively large animated GIF here.
Yeah. So 2560 by 1588. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
The weirdest thing is that you just see it. Yep. Into data extraction, and you can pull out all that info from there. Yeah, this is really cool. So nice little update to that. So yeah, you can kind of keep extractions up to date by navigating to the refresh and manage section. So just kind of like what you would do with maybe with like a connected, slide in slides where it's connected back to another one, you just hit refresh and boom, it pulls in the new data. So there's some additional info here around, nesting arrays of chip extractions to perform more complex analysis. So, if you need to do that, it kind of gives you an example of how you can pull out the sub data set of that cell and that range. So it just kind of uses the structure of that is kind of like in programming, in JavaScript or something like that, where you do a dot kind of reference to the subsection of like the next more specific part of whatever that function is or things like that. Good amount of information here to informing end users of how to use this functionality. So have a look at the update to kind of see how your users can start leveraging that. And then looking at rollout for this, the rep release domains have this on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days for visibility. And that did start last week on the 17th of May. Scheduled release domains will have this on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility starting on the 14th of June. And then in terms of availability here, it's a little bit a difference between what is available to whom. The extraction of data already stored in chips, so name and email for people chips, MIME type, URL, etc. That is available to all Workspace customers and users with personal Google accounts. And then extraction of all available data, that feature is available only to certain tiers of Business Standard Plus, Enterprise Essentials, Enterprise Essentials Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Fundamentals, Education Plus, Education Standard, and Teaching and Learning Upgrade. It is not going to be available to the Essential Starter, Business Starter, Frontline Starter, Frontline Standard, and Nonprofits, nor is it available to users with Google personal accounts. And then last but not least, that smart chip that is going to allow you to collaborate on the creation of a calendar event within a Google Doc. So just like you can start to compose an email there, collaborate, and then send that over into Gmail to actually send it, this is going to be similar to that, but in calendar mode. So you can start to create the title of it, of an event, the guests, the start time, end time, location, and the description. So it just makes it easy to collaborate on that, and good for event organizers and things like that that are working together on getting an event set up and sent out. In terms of rollout for this one, this started on the 17th of May for the rep release domains, which we'll see that on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. And then starting the 30th of May, the scheduled release domains, we'll see that also on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. It is only available to certain customers, those on Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, and Education Plus customers, as well as those nonprofits. Not available to anyone else, nor available to Google personal accounts. They say personal Google accounts, same difference, potatoes, potatoes, whatever. All right, so that wraps up all of those Workspace updates that we saw. Bard kind of seems like an AI thing, and Jesse loves to talk about AI. Cool. So Jesse, why don't you talk about the Bard updates that we saw here on the 15th of last week?
Yeah, it's just a simple, better at summarizing the things that it's coming up with in your replies, better at summarizing information, helpful when you want to get the gist of a topic quickly. Bard won't always get it right, but it will keep improving with your feedback. And it is also making sources more useful, where it can help you now to identify which parts of a response match a source. So that's actually very important, because you're like, where the hell did this come from? Now you're going to be able to figure that out. Yes, Steve.
You know what I was trying to do with Bard recently, and I thought it was possible, and I read some IO notes, and it looks like it is possible, but I don't know how. It may just not be available yet. But I thought Bard was able to answer questions on an image you could feed it.
Not yet, I think.
But it did talk about that, though, right?
I do remember hearing something about this. I don't know if it was IO.
Okay. Because, like, I asked a question to Bard the other day, today actually, and I said, you know, tell me where this picture was taken. And I was like, oh, I can do that, but I just need some more information, like, you know, where, you know, what image. Yeah, exactly. And it seemed like it was telling me I need to give it, you know, this information, but it didn't give me a way to give it to it.
Interesting. Right? I wonder if you sent it a link of an image, if that would have worked.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I wonder, can I share a URL from a photo in my Google Photos album?
Ooh. Maybe. Well, you're playing around with that. I'll talk about Chrome OS version 14.8.16.84.36 has fixed a clicking issue. Yeah, crazy. Has fixed a clicking issue with audio while in a meeting. I can imagine that was annoying. Series 1 Desk 27 Scalar firmware version is now 44 and also includes MIMO View HDMI presentation fix. So if you suffer from any of those problems, go and make sure that you update to latest OS. And then just real quick, because this has been a long episode and just the updates alone, there has been some talkings and hullabaloo around Google announcing that they, hullabaloo, it's a good word, that they are updating their inactive account policies. This was posted on the keyword under safety and security. And essentially, Google is trying to free up some of the accounts that haven't been used in forever. And essentially, the accounts that they are going to be getting rid of is any Google accounts that have not been touched in 2 years across any of the products. So if a Google account has not been used or signed into for at least 2 years, we may delete the accounts and its contents, including content within Google Workspace, Gmail Docs, Meet, Drive, Calendar, and Google Photos. This policy only applies to personal Google accounts, because they already prune the workspace ones, but that's besides the point. It will not affect accounts for organizations like schools or businesses. This update aligns our policy with industry standards around retention and account deletion, also limits the amount of time Google retains your unused personal information. Now, I have had it confirmed by YouTube that if you have YouTube videos on your account, it will not affect your account. It will not be deleted even if you don't log in, because your videos are still there. Now, if you don't have YouTube videos on there and you want to keep it active, log in, send an email, watch a YouTube video, download an app on the Play Store, use Google Search whilst logged in, use Sign In with Google to sign into a third-party app or service. That's pretty much the way that you can do it, or you can create a backup plan for your account and its content should you want to, etc. But generally, if you haven't used an account in a long time and you really want to keep it, and it's a Gmail account at gmail.com, then just log in and do something with it.
Then up next, I got a lot of those.
That you really want to keep? Really? I mean, I got a lot of those, but I really don't care if they disappear if I haven't touched them in 2 years. I have some Gmail accounts I want to keep, but I log into them at least once a year.
Yeah. There's a few that I want to keep that I don't log into that often, but well, I also want to keep them for testing and stuff. Yeah.
Get to it. Yeah. All right, an event that I am very much looking forward to. Come and hang out with me if you're in the area. We did this last year, and I'm very excited to go back again. C2C is doing a two-gather event in Los Angeles called The Future Is Now, Security and AI. And this is going to be at the incredibly amazing Spruce Goose Hangar Google offices in L.A., and those are brand new and awesome and historical and super cool and super well designed. So and also Iman God, I gotta ask him how to pronounce this. Ganizada. I probably butchered that. Sorry, dude. Who's going to be speaking again? He's Google Cloud's Global Head of Autonomic Security. And Buzz Hayes, who's the Global Lead of Entertainment Industry Solutions. And they are both going to be speaking, and I imagine some others will also be speaking. And it should be a really great event that is on Tuesday, June the 6th at 2:30 p.m. So join me there, and we'll have the links in the show notes or down below for you to RSVP. And there's another one that is going to be in San Diego 2 days later. I don't know exactly where that one's going to be, because quite frankly, I didn't look into it as much. And we'll have other speakers. And then in the EMEA area in Tel Aviv, mm-hmm. You're going to have Wednesday, June 14th, 4 p.m. Is going to have a whole handful of people speaking, including Ooh, some really legendary people on here. So definitely go and check out that event if you're in Israel and in the region, or will be there during that time. That's on June 14th, and you can RSVP on all of to all of these or any of these, should you like to, through the links on our show notes. And I will wrap it up here because it's been 53 minutes of just updates, no news. So feel free to send us your questions and comments on Twitter and on our website, workspacerecap.com. That's all for this week. If you're on the YouTube side, hit the subscribe button. You know what to do. Or over on the podcast side, 5 stars if you would. Tell your friends about us. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.